Wonderful Encounters and Beautiful Things. Written by Emerson and read by Titania. Summary. Zhang Cheng, local witch and florist, turns around one day to find that his cat Familia has brought home a tiny, palm-sized human man. Suddenly, he finds himself promising to break his curse, and getting to know him in the meantime. Fern. Magic, enchantment, confidence, sincerity, and shelter. As with all things, there were rules when it came to magic. Be careful when making a deal with the Fae. Don't tell the humans about your magic unless it is unavoidable. Never break a curse that you didn't cast, lest it backlash on you. Nothing was given freely, after all. Magic was different for any who wielded it, but as a constant, it was an exchange, the subtlety of which depended on how large of a spell was cast. Zhang Cheng's magic was green, which meant that it was a peaceful sort, much in contrast to his harsh and prickly personality. His potions and poultices were easy to make when the backlash of his magic was channeled into the flowers he kept as a mask to the true nature of his shop. The humans believed him simply gifted with botany, and they weren't wrong. Communicating with the plants was far easier than with people, or even, at times, his snarky familiar. Zidian most frequently took the form of a black cat, fluffy and long-haired and large, electing to spend most of her days lounging on windowsills and judging the clientele in her soft, raspy voice that only the magic-inclined could hear. Today, however, she was nowhere to be seen. This wasn't overly concerning, as fey beings were always moving to their own unheard rhythm and whims, and she would return instantly if she felt any distress coming from him. If only dealing with his brother counted as distress, Zhang Cheng growled internally as he fiddled with the ingredients to the requested poultice, doing his best to ignore his brother's chattering and instead to focus on his work. At best, it registered as a persistent annoyance, one that Zidian knew how to recognize. If only you were a real witch, you could make a love potion for me, Wei Ying sighed dramatically, just to rile him up. He knew as well as Zhang Cheng did that true love potions were a myth similar to potions of eternal youth. Love required choice and effort, and anything claiming to magic away that practice at best started an infatuation that would swiftly fade with time. It didn't make his pestering any easier to brush away. So you say, Zhang Cheng snapped. If I'm not a real witch, then why are you asking me to do you a favor? I have other customers, you know. I can't keep dropping my regular orders to do whatever you want. Wei Ying sulked, kicking his feet from his position on the counter. He was lucky they were in the back room, where things were considerably more organized. The florist shop was full of vases and ribbons, pre-made bouquets and flowers divided by their meaning, type, and colors. You don't understand romance troubles, Wei Ying sighed, his strange silver eyes flickering in the filtered sunlight coming through the window. Isn't there at least, like, a charm for good luck or something like that? I don't make charms, Zhang Cheng said shortly, slamming down his tools, perhaps a touch too harshly. He rolled the poultice up in a simple cloth, tying it off with red string. As irritated as he was, he loved his brother, and the things he gave him had to work. Wei Ying was half-fey, and while he wasn't ostracized, he was treated with a certain level of trepidation and apprehension. It didn't help that he had an inherently mischievous nature, his trademark crooked grin setting witches and humans both on edge. Zhang Cheng, having been raised alongside him, knew the truth of him, which was that he had a grey view of things, yes, but that he was also always trying to do good. None of this was neither here nor there, but it accumulated into Zhang Cheng's helpless urge to want to protect him, which ultimately led to nothing but frustration as Wei Ying got into trouble again and again and again. Zhang Sheng pivoted on his heel, shoving the wrapped poultice into Wei Ying's hands. "Take it and get out," he muttered. "I have to get started on a potion for Argy. The baby's been giving her aches and nausea." "Fine," Wei Ying caved, if only because it was in the benefit of their beloved sister. He hopped up onto his feet, winking. "I'll let you know how it goes." "Definitely don't," Zhang Cheng shouted, just before Wei Ying disappeared in a puff of black smoke. There had been a time where Zhang Cheng had been jealous of Wei Ying's flashier, more active magic, especially when it gathered the attention of everyone who passed by. He was so effortlessly gifted, the magic that was in his Fey ancestry making it easier for him to wield the elements and bend the fabric of reality to his whim. Now, though, Zhang Cheng mostly settled for rolling his eyes, casting a quick glance into the main part of his shop to make sure he didn't have any customers. Moving away from home had settled something in him, and making a place and business entirely his own helped him build a healthier sense of self. His magic was the quiet that soothed the storm of his temper, and the flowers blooming under his touch reminded him that he was worthwhile, that he could create and grow instead of only destroying. Zhang Cheng blew out a long, calming breath before he began to pull out the materials needed to assist with the complications of pregnancy. It was then that the top window, the one that led out onto the roof, swung open, nudging into the wind chimes that signaled the arrival of Zidian. "You were out late," Zhang Cheng commented, without looking over at her, focusing on dividing up the ingredients into the appropriate amounts. "Should I be expecting kittens anytime soon?" Instead of the usual scathing remark that he would have earned, Zidian made a noise that was close to an actual meow, and he heard soft thumps as she jumped down from shelf to shelf, until she could approach the counter he was working on. "Why are you quiet? Did you catch a mouse again?" Zhang Cheng asked, finally glancing up at her, and promptly dropping the beaker in his hand when he saw what, or who, was dangling out of Zidian's mouth. It was a human. A simple sweep of his magic told him this, even though his eyes fought to deceive him. For this human was tiny, barely the size of his palm, with long brown hair that reached his mid-back and big, little, amber-coloured eyes. He was clearly dressed in whatever tiny clothes could fit him, maybe pieces from a doll that had been thrown in the garbage. His shirt was tattered and hanging off of his body, and his pants had been tied with a shoelace to keep them from slipping down. He was currently dangling, the collar of his shirt caught in Zidian's teeth, with his arms crossed and unimpressed. It was comical. It was baffling. Zhang Cheng was stunned speechless. "Get your fluff monster to put me down," the little man huffed after a moment of waiting for Zhang Cheng to move. "Don't just stand there." "Oh," Zhang Cheng said, before he jolted into action. "Zidian, let go." Zidian blinked at him rather disdainfully, depositing the man onto the counter where he stumbled and just barely managed to keep his footing. "He's cursed," she told him pointedly, and then added nonsensically, "I like him." She swished her tail, hopping off of the counter and strolling off, as if that explained everything and her assistance was no longer needed. "One of these days," Zhang Cheng muttered, "I'm going to send her back to the Fey Realm." Then he remembered that there was a human present. A cursed human, yes, but a human nonetheless, and shut his mouth with a click of his jaw. He had to be aware, on some level, about the existence of magic, but it was another unspoken rule to not divulge its intricacies to an untrusted individual, especially not to one he had just met. The human dusted his ratty clothes off, looking rather disgruntled about the entire situation. "It's going to take me forever to get back to—" He trailed off, a lost expression crossing his little face, and Zhang Cheng couldn't help but sympathize. It was the inherent nature of curses that the cursed could not speak of its details. Not the witch who cast the spell, not the circumstances surrounding the spell, nothing that would be of use to any fool who attempted to help them. Zidian knew the dangers of breaking a human's curse, and still she had brought this human here to him in an obvious bid for his assistance. Familiars were ancient creatures, some of them growing to be thousands of years old and wise in their convoluted ways. If she wanted Zhang Cheng to help... Gods above, maybe he was spending too much time with Wei Ying. "Are you hungry?" he asked the human reluctantly, trying not to be affected when his head shot up and his, admittedly pretty, eyes widened. "Yes," the human breathed in blatant relief. His name, Zhang Cheng discovered as the human slowly made his way through a single cracker that was over half his size, was Ni Hasong. He came from the western side of the city, but had to leave home before his brother learned of his condition and blamed himself, or did something reckless to try to fix it. He couldn't say much more on the matter, but something in Zhang Cheng stirred at the bravery it must have taken to leave home so small, so vulnerable, to take everything on himself. He could have been squashed like a bug, or stepped on accidentally, or stolen by a hawk, and yet, after the shock of being kidnapped by a cat wore off, his smile came easily, softening his face, and Zhang Cheng had the brief, random thought that he must have turned heads at his full size. "What are your plans?" Zhang Cheng ended up asking, sipping at his teacup. Ni Hasong was so small that he could probably fit in said teacup, and argued with himself internally. "I don't exactly know," Ni Hasong admitted, biting his lower lip. He was sitting cross-legged on a pile of books Zhang Cheng set on the table, and Zhang Cheng wasn't even worrying about the crumbs. "I have to find a way to, you know, go back to normal." "I can't in good conscience let you wander the streets in your current condition," Zhang Cheng found himself saying, clenching and unclenching his fists. This was stupid of him. But he resolved himself by insisting mentally that there was simply no other option. "Anything could happen to you." Ni Hasong blinked up at him, tilting his head. "What? Like being kidnapped by a cat?" Zhang Cheng's lips twitched in a tiny smile before he let out a long sigh. "Or worse, yeah. If you don't have a safe place to stay, I don't mind if you hide out here for a while." Ni Hasong's lips parted slightly in surprise. He brushed his hands on his ratty, stolen pants before he clambered up to his feet. "Are you sure?" he asked. "I thought witches weren't supposed to help." "It's fine," Zhang Cheng answered brusquely. "We'll figure it out." Ni Hasong beamed then, tiny and bright and lovely, and he held out one of his small hands to shake. His fingers could barely wrap around the pointer finger Zhang Cheng offered in return. Elsewhere in the house, Zidian radiated pleased satisfaction. Daisy. Innocence, purity, cheer, and beauty unknown to possessor. Over the next week, Zhang Cheng grew oddly accustomed to having a roommate. Of course, it wasn't exactly like having a full-sized person sharing his private space, but Zhang Cheng, valuing his independence immensely, would have thought it would bother him regardless. Instead, Zhang Cheng found Ni Hasong pleasant. He had created a small living space in the nook above the kitchen desk, cutting swaths of soft fabric to layer in his spare teacup as a makeshift bed, and hanging a thinner fabric to serve as a curtain to allow the tiny man some privacy. In the mornings, Zhang Cheng would help him down onto the surface of the desk, magicking books to remain unmovable to serve as ramps between the countertops so that he could move around safely and freely. Zhang Cheng also, after a spontaneous thrifting spree, brought home tiny dishes and glasses that Ni Hasong could use to eat and drink more comfortably. In the evenings, when both of his shops were closed, Zhang Cheng sat down and took to sewing different clothes that would actually fit Ni Hasong, offering traditional robes as well as modern outfits as he grew more confident in his sewing abilities. Just as the city was a blend of magic and the mundane, Pocket still dressed in fashions from thousands of years ago, while others preferred to adapt to the changing of time. Nihasang seemed to like both with equal measures utter delight and bright-eyed gratitude. He was unbearably cute, a word Jiang Cheng almost never used to describe anything at all, insisting to pay him back in any way that he could. Mostly, this involved tying his hair back in a slip of fabric that served as a bandana and running around Jiang Cheng's shop, getting him ingredients as orders came in. He was a fast learner, and while he remained entirely human, magic seemed to like him. Plants bloomed under his careful touch, and Jiang Cheng felt his own innate power become aware of him, flaring up whenever he drew near, strengthening whatever potion he was making at the time, or reaching out with an unconscious flutter of gentle wind. Zidian, most of all, was obsessed with Nihasang. She followed him around the shop, occasionally going as far as to try to pin him and groom him. Luckily, he didn't take offense. The resulting laughter that spilled from his lips made Jiang Cheng smile from across the room more than once. It was easy in a way that wasn't the norm for Jiang Cheng. Dealing with people wasn't his forte, but even when he found himself bickering with Nihasang, he didn't get upset. Their conversation flowed effortlessly, whether it was an unimportant topic or if it was a cautious dance around the subject of Nihasang's curse. Jiang Cheng would help him, whether it was a wise idea or not. Gardenia, joy, sweet love, and good luck. In his youth, Jiang Cheng had devoted himself to studying as much about the intricacies and history of all forms of magic in an attempt to keep up with his adopted brother's natural brilliance. He found that now, as he rummaged through his dusty attic to pull out book after book, tome after tome, that he could have some gratitude for the competitiveness of his childhood. It was remarkably useful to have such references on hand in regards to the more unusual spells and curses, and he trudged down the stairs to dump them onto the kitchen table. Nihasang wanted to help him search, claiming that it was only just, considering that he was literally doing him a favor, but his little hands were too small for most of the heavier books. He compromised by bringing Jiang Cheng snacks, occasionally lingering to lean over the book and skim the words that he could only partly understand, as a number of them were scripted in old runes and enchantments. When he inevitably grew restless, for humans were curious creatures, creative beings, always seeking for more, he hopped down and began exploring the shop in depth. Jiang Cheng didn't mind, glancing up periodically to search for the tiny figure scrambling through his home, finding tiny smiles gracing his lips more frequently at the other's antics. Then, after Jiang Cheng had spent too long bent over old tomes, Nihasang returned to his side to tug at his sleeve. "You need a break," he declared imperiously. "Oh?" Jiang Cheng asked, raising a brow and leaning back in his chair, ignoring the way his muscles ached after being still for so long. "Yes, it can't be all work all the time," Nihasang insisted, pouting up at him. "Play a game with me instead." Intrigued, Jiang Cheng turned his hand so that Nihasang could grab a hold of his pointer finger. "What game do you want to play?" Nihasang beamed, his eyes glittering with playful energy. "Hide and seek." Jiang Cheng's instinct was to deny him. He had plenty of practice of refusing the shenanigans of his brother. This felt different somehow. He found himself instead, after hesitating, agreeing to the suggestion. And it was fun. Nihasang would hide somewhere in the house and Jiang Cheng would have to search for him. The human was fairly clever when it came to finding nooks and crannies that he could fit inside of due to his small size. Zidian watched them play, her purrs amused and affectionate, occasionally offering a sarcastic remark or two when it took Jiang Cheng longer to find the newest hiding place. Whenever he found Nihasang, the man would jump onto his palm, giggling and carefree. The world was so much more dangerous for him like this, and surely he longed to return to his brother and his former life, and yet he remained resilient, bright, charming. Zhang Cheng laughed with him, careful not to drop him. For a little bit, in their own little bubble of companionship, he was happy. Purple Hyacinth, Forgiveness, Sincerity, and Regret. The books Zhang Cheng had on hand ended up to be a dead end. There was plenty of information on curses, largely in that finding the caster and the wording of the curse was vital to breaking it, but nothing that led to a lead they could follow. Zhang Cheng refused to let that be the end of it, so, against all better judgment, he placed Ni Hasang on his shoulder, wrapping a scarf loosely around his neck to both hide him from view and hold him in place. Once Ni Hasang assured him that he was stable and comfortable, Zhang Cheng took in a deep breath and left his shop. He was familiar with the city, though it was admittedly rather rare for him to venture forth for any reason besides seeking out supplies. He wasn't a people person, after all, and he found that trying to force himself to be so only ended up giving him headaches. It was worth it, however, when Ni Hasang began rambling on about the more magical parts of the city that he had visited. He had a habit of sneaking away from home, apparently, and was endlessly delighted by the trinkets and street performers that coaxed humans to spend their coin. He had a head on his shoulders, knowing when to obscure any personal information that the fae folk might twist and use to their advantage, and always came back with the most wondrous of stories. It was fascinating to hear how Zhang Cheng's world appeared in the eyes of someone who wasn't born into it, the most mundane, average thing that he had grown so used to that he didn't think twice about, was suddenly something Ni Hasang exclaimed over, asking dozens of questions that Zhang Cheng found were fun to answer, especially when Ni Hasang would grin in response to whatever he told him. The library they visited was expansive, with wall-to-wall bookshelves and a spiraling staircase onto the second floor, which had maps and other references on display. Zhang Cheng crossed the room with ease, heading directly to the back room on the second floor, which had magical artifacts and tomes that could be used for further research. The moment the door was closed behind them, Zhang Cheng quickly picked Ni Hasang up, placing him carefully on the table. "Stay here," he instructed. "Some of the things in here need to be approached properly, or they'll lash out." "Lash out how?" Ni Hasang asked, lighting up with curiosity. Zhang Cheng rolled his eyes, turning away to smother a smile. "You don't want to find out." He moved to examine the shelves, meticulously casting small spells to put down books and scrolls on curses, searching for what would be most relevant. He'd take a few home with him, but the larger books could be examined here for an hour or two. Getting fresh air and out of the house was beginning to feel nice, especially with such an easygoing and cheerful companion. Then he felt a flash originating from behind him, resonating in the magic resting at his core, and he dropped all that he was holding to spin around and race back to where he had left Ni Hasang. Ni Hasang was hanging off of the table, his legs swinging and kicking in the air as he tried pulling himself back up. The drop from the table was nothing to Zhang Cheng, but at Ni Hasang's height it was akin to falling from a three-story building. There was another book that had tumbled from a nearby shelf, lying open and glowing an ominous, threatening black. Zhang Cheng cursed, launching forward and closing the book with a thump and a jolt of a spell, one that shot sparks of pain through his veins and down his spine. There was a safer method of sealing it, but he didn't have time. Having touched it once, if Ni Hasang came within range of the book, it would launch a second force attack. Zhang Cheng ignored the pain, scrambling to pick up Ni Hasang, catching him in both of his palms and bringing him up to his chest, where he could cradle him until they both caught their breath. "Thank you," Ni Hasang whispered tentatively after a long moment, his tiny hand shaking. "I didn't mean to. I was..." "Don't." Zhang Cheng's voice was harsher than he intended, but he always defaulted to anger rather than confront the deeper emotions like concern or fear. "Stay still. We're going home." "Zhang Cheng, we just got here," Nihasong protested, trying to stand up. But Zhang Cheng lifted him and tucked him back into his scarf.
I don't want to hear it, Zhang Cheng snapped.
He marched back to collect the books off the ground, storming back downstairs to check out what he was planning on looking through. Nihasong remained obediently silent only until they made their way back through the city and back into Zhang Cheng's home. The moment the door swung shut, he began to wiggle, pushing at Zhang Cheng's neck.
Why are you being like this? You aren't even listening to me, Nihasong complained. Why should I listen, huh?
Zhang Cheng asked, dropping the books onto the table.
You clearly don't.
It was an accident. I would have never done something you specifically told me not to, Nihasong shot back, pushing away Zhang Cheng's fingers when he tried to lift him and set him down on a safe, flat surface.
No, you don't get to throw me around just because I'm small. Throw you around? Nihasong, you could have died!
Zhang Cheng burst out, slamming his hands down on the table.
The book fell and it knocked me over and I fell on top of it, Nihasong explained. His voice clipped and agitated. I wanted to thank you for taking care of me, but you started yelling before I could say anything at all.
Zhang Cheng stilled, breathing out slowly through his nose. It was a very real possibility. The darker books would be attracted to humans, and Nihasong had a record of getting the attention of more powerful magic. He hadn't had a temper outburst like this in a while. His heart was still pounding, his bones aching from the feedback from the sealing spell. It had all happened so quickly, but the anxiety lingered, the blatant terror that just like that Nihasong could... Nihasong shifted, carefully climbing down Zhang Cheng's arm so that he could pull himself up onto the kitchen table, turning around to look up at Zhang Cheng's face. His expression softened, his lips quirking into a tiny smile.
It's okay, he murmured. It's over now. Zhang Cheng, thank you for protecting me.
Zhang Cheng's eyes stung, his ears burning at the praise. He looked away, swallowing hard.
It's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Zhang Cheng, Nihasong hummed, reaching out with his little hands. Give me a hug. Zhang Cheng looked back at him, startled. He parted his lips, no sound escaping him for a moment. Then, a little hoarse, he mumbled,
How? You're so small.
Then lean down at least, Nihasong insisted, not letting up until Zhang Cheng obligingly knelt down, lowering his face to hover in front of the tiny human. Nihasong placed a hand on either side of Zhang Cheng's face, cradling him the best that he could manage, leaning up on his toes to get closer. Zhang Cheng let out a long, shaky breath, very carefully letting their foreheads rest against one another's. He closed his eyes, grounded by the touch, letting his emotions settle into the sunset warmth, the contentment that was so natural whenever Nihasong coaxed him into the present. Losing this would be a form of heartbreak unto its own. Zhang Cheng couldn't imagine what Nihasong's friends and brother must feel, having no idea whether he was safe or not. He wouldn't be able to stand it, not knowing. Daffodil. Uncertainty, chivalry, respect, and return my affection. Zhang Cheng busied himself over the next week, when he wasn't flipping through books or occupied with his job, by crafting a tiny residence for Nihasong, made of doll pieces and carefully constructed small furniture, which he either painted or draped with colourful fabric after asking the human's opinion. When he was finished, the house sat in the centre of the kitchen table, which he covered with a tablecloth before going to collect Nihasong from the other room.
Keep your eyes closed, Zhang Cheng insisted, setting Nihasong down on the table facing the covered house.
I can't peek, Nihasong whined, a smile playing at his lips.
Not yet, almost.
Zhang Cheng moved over to the side of the house, carefully pinching the sides of the tablecloth, unveiling it and placing it to the side.
Okay, now you can look.
Nihasong opened his eyes, his lips parting in shock. He let out an ecstatic shriek,
racing forward and beginning to inspect each of the rooms, testing out the furniture and delighting when he found it comfortable and, more importantly, his size. Zhang Cheng watched him fondly as he scurried about, huffing out a laugh at the excitable chatter that was spilling out of Ni Hasang's lips. This wasn't the end game, of course. It was temporary housing, an arrangement to make him more content as he waited for Zhang Cheng to discover the cure. He would leave the moment he was himself again, leaving Zhang Cheng and his gifts behind as nothing more than a pleasant memory, a dream to occasionally be revisited at best. He turned, moving into the kitchen to begin preparing their dinner. It was a foolish kind of melancholy, as he had known from the very beginning that this was the way their story would end. It wouldn't do to linger. Instead, he busied himself with pulling out ingredients. Curse or no curse, it was unacceptable for Ni Hasang to eat only things his size, like crackers or grains of rice. Zhang Cheng wanted him to have well-balanced meals, and therefore had begun to make the same food he made for himself, except in tiny. He found it rather soothing to arrange pretty dinner plates that were so small, presenting them in front of Ni Hasang and hearing his praise. The human in question tugged at his pinky, appearing next to him suddenly and shocking him out of his thoughts. "I don't know how you're single," Ni Hasang said, blushing and beaming. "You're the sweetest person I've ever met, I think." "Shut up," Zhang Cheng grumbled, picking him up and bringing him up to his shoulder. Ni Hasang nestled up to the crook of his neck, giggling. "It's true," he sighed. "Thank you, Zhang Cheng. I feel so safe here." Zhang Cheng nearly dropped the knife he was using to chop up vegetables. He stilled, letting out a careful breath, before he resumed his motions. "Good," he mumbled. "Whatever you need, Hasang, just ask." Azalea. Take care, temperance, fragile, gratitude, and passion. Zhang Cheng shot out of bed, frantically scrambling into the kitchen and scooping the house up. Ni Hasang yelped from the inside, falling out of his own miniature bed. "Where's the fire?" he shouted, clinging to the window and looking up at Zhang Cheng.
"My sister is coming over," Zhang Cheng explained, setting his home down on the trunk at the base of the bed. She can't see you, okay?"
Ni Hasang pouted, but he didn't ask any questions, nodding and ducking back into his house. Zhang Cheng stared at the place where he had been for a moment longer, before he ran his fingers through his hair, trudging back into the main room. An hour later, the front bell rang out its simple melody as Zhang Yanli walked into his door. It was always nice to see his sister, and Zhang Cheng stepped forward to greet her with a hug and a kiss on the cheek. She smelled of nostalgia, of the ingredients of the soup she made as a front to her own potion-making, and her returning hug was fierce and loving. Zhang Cheng loved his home. He wouldn't give it up for absolutely anything, but he did miss her dearly. She didn't come around as frequently as Wei Ying, especially now that she was married and pregnant, but she would call often when she wasn't able to make the trip into the city. "Ah Cheng, you've done so well! Your shop looks so pretty," Zhang Yanli praised, letting him go so that she could look around. She raised a brow when she noticed how vibrantly the flowers were blooming, running a finger along a particularly lively plant. "Everything here feels so happy." Zhang Yanli's magic was more intuitive, giving her an innate understanding of feelings and auras of people and places alike. She was known for being sweet, but underneath that was a shrewdness that was entirely their mother's influence, an ability to piece together unspoken truths in an instant.
"Yeah," Zhang Cheng said gruffly, moving around to walk behind the counter, pulling down a few ingredients as he went.
"Don't pretend, Da Cheng. You're happy too," she hummed, following him at a more relaxed pace. "I'm glad. Have you been making friends?"
"You're mothering me," Zhang Cheng complained, his ears burning.
"I was worried when you left home," Zhang Yanli said, tilting her head and watching him work. "But I know now that it wasn't necessary. You look so you. I'm so relieved." Zhang Cheng ducked his head,
swallowing and beginning to grind herbs in a mortar. After a few moments of companionable silence, he braced himself.
Aji?
Yes? Zhang Yanli asked, perking up, as if she was waiting for him to talk.
What all do you know about curses?
Zhang Cheng managed out, his voice surprisingly steady as he met her gaze.
On humans, specifically.
Zhang Yanli blinked, startled and caught off guard. Zhang Cheng wasn't sure what she had expected him to ask, but that clearly wasn't it. Do you have any details of the curse in question?
Standard, for the most part, with physical effects. Not harm, but inconvenience.
Zhang Yanli considered, lowering herself down onto the chair next to the counter, her hand resting protectively over her baby bump. If it's something that doesn't cause physical pain, it sounds almost like an action of a spurned lover, does it not? One that's so angry that they lash out with a spell, but don't really want to push them further away. Zhang Cheng's stomach dropped, his fingers curling into fists for a moment as he processed the implications.
Of course someone like Ni Hasang would have people who loved him, who sought him out, who panicked and angered when they were faced with the prospect of losing him. What Zhang Cheng knew about him was minimal in reality, and couldn't possibly compare to those who spent time with him like that.
He dropped the mortar, cursing when it cracked against the countertop. He scowled and began picking up the pieces, dumping it roughly into the garbage can. The cure is often to fix a misunderstanding, Zhang Yanli continued softly, a note of sympathy to her voice, concern in her eyes. If you can locate the caster, communication goes a long way.
Talk it out, Zhang Cheng muttered, glaring at his hands. Really? That's it?
Simple solutions for the most complex of problems, Zhang Yanli murmured. Isn't that what love is? Later, after they had tea and Zhang Yanli left for home, Zhang Cheng returned to his bedroom to find Ni Hasang curled up on his pillow. His hair was rumpled, his little body snuggled up to Zidian, who was purring lowly. Zhang Cheng watched them for a moment, his heart aching so badly he thought it might just break. His sister was right. It was worth a try. Sweet Pea. Gratitude, tenderness, and farewell. The skies opened up on the day Zhang Cheng took Ni Hasang to the spellcaster. The rain pattered on the sidewalks, thrumming down against the roofs and Zhang Cheng's umbrella. It brought with it the faint scent of the sea, a chill settling into their bones as a cold front came in with the storm. Zhang Cheng wanted nothing more than to turn around and bring Ni Hasang back home, where they could be warm and safe, where they could share food and laughter, where they could be them. Regardless, he trudged on, boots kicking up water with every step. It had been a quick conversation over breakfast to find a person who matched the description of someone who might potentially have had reason to do such a thing. The confusion was that Ni Hasang had no exes of the sort personally. The person he named was his brother's ex. Still, hurting someone by cursing a family member wasn't unheard of, though it did make it a little trickier when it came to undoing it. Zhang Cheng made sure to strengthen himself before heading out, hanging talismans off of his belt and tucked into his pockets for amplification of his magic. Meng Yao was an unassuming witch, but even from approaching the outside of his humble little apartment, Zhang Cheng could feel the sheer strength and ingenuity of the wardings etched into the earth. Zhang Cheng had done nothing to wrong him, but he would have to be careful to keep it that way, as the alternative meant a similar kind of lashing out at him as well. Curses didn't work the same on witches as they did on humans, but the side effects could still be nasty or uncomfortable. The second the door opened, however, Zhang Cheng's anxieties appeared to be for naught. Meng Yao blinked at him, a question clearly forming on his lips, when he noticed Ni Hasang perched on the taller man's shoulder, small and bundled up in a thicker jacket Zhang Cheng had made for him.
Oh, Meng Yao said simply, sighing heavily and taking a step back to let them in. How unexpected. Zhang Cheng cautiously accepted the invitation, keeping a safe distance away from him as he was guided into the rather homely-looking living room. "I should have known," Meng Yao was saying, his voice quiet and almost mournful in nature. "It was an ugly argument, and I was so angry I didn't." "Dage was upset for ages," Nihasang said, his eyes narrowed, cold for the first time that Zhang Cheng had ever seen. "I've never seen him like that." "I called him heartless," Meng Yao replied, pinching the bridge of his nose. "I wanted to make him as small and helpless as his wretched little heart, but..." "Well, if it misfired, then that means that his intentions were not so black, doesn't it?" He tisked his tongue, shaking his head and sitting down primly at the edge of a seat. He gestured for Zhang Cheng to sit opposite him on the couch, which he did, though his hackles remained raised and aware. "He loved you," Nihasang told him, his tiny hands fisting in Zhang Cheng's shirt. Zhang Cheng wished he could hold him, or give him proper support. "He loves you still, even if you've broken it." Meng Yao closed his eyes, the tiniest smile twitching at the corner of his mouth. When he opened them once more, his expression was both terribly sad and painfully relieved. Then his eyes flashed, and he performed a lightning-fast hand gesture. Zhang Cheng could feel the sudden release of tension, like a string had finally been cut after remaining taut for so long. But Nihasang remained small. "I am sorry that you've been caught up in our mess," Meng Yao said, resting his hands on his lap. "At dawn, you should find yourself back to normal." "I thought a misunderstanding had to be cleared between the two of you," Zhang Cheng blurted out, furrowing his brows. "It couldn't be this easy, could it? You're not getting back together with his brother or something?" "Sometimes people just don't work out together," Meng Yao said, wistful, lowering his eyes. "But you can be happy that you had them in your lives. You can move on with your memory." "Parallel lines," Nihasang agreed, a little kinder than before. "You should still talk to him, at least for a resolution. Don't let it end on different pages." Xenia, thinking of you, remembering absent friends, and sentimentality. By the time Zhang Cheng and Nihasang arrived back at the shop, the rain had stopped. The skies were steadily clearing, revealing a canopy of stars that glittered overhead. Nihasang had been quiet for the entire walk back. His hand remained fisted in Zhang Cheng's shirt, and he refused to let go until they were back and settling down on the couch. Zhang Cheng grieved his absence before he had even left. He shocked himself with the intensity of the feeling, but it would be of no use to Nihasang if he made this all about him. It wasn't. He was simply collateral damage. They both were, as it turned out. "Are you excited to see your brother again?" Zhang Cheng asked weakly, attempting to shove his own hurt aside. Nihasang had every right to leave him, to go back to his normal life. It wasn't his fault that Zhang Cheng had grown so attached. No. He had done that all on his own. "Yes," Nihasang murmured, his heart not fully seeming in it. "Of course I am." "You'll be able to go home soon." Zhang Cheng lifted Nihasang up, cradling him in his palm so that they could look one another in the eye. "I'm sure you miss all your things." "I do," Nihasang admitted, wrapping his arms around one of Zhang Cheng's fingers. Then, a touch timidly, he asked, "Will you stay up with me to watch the sunrise?"
"Yeah,"
Zhang Cheng agreed immediately.
We could go to the roof."
"That's perfect," Nihasang whispered. Bird of paradise. Thoughtfulness, love, faithfulness, and joy. Zhang Cheng set Nihasang down on the roof next to him, after ensuring that it was safe and that he wouldn't fall. Nihasang made a joke about how he wouldn't have to worry so much soon, and Zhang Cheng privately thought about just how much that wasn't true. The storm clouds gave way to a crystal-clear night, a night that knew magic was to come. They barely spoke to each other, simply enjoying each other's company to any extent that they could manage. Nihasang's hand rested on Zhang Cheng's. Zhang Cheng closed his eyes and wondered why he had to want something for himself now that it was going to be taken away from him. Then, suddenly, there were hands on his face, long, human-sized fingers that cradled along his jaw, thumbs stroking his cheekbones. Zhang Cheng could hardly breathe. He opened his eyes. Nihasang was radiant in the early morning glow, his brown hair glinting almost golden red under the light of the rising sun. He was still smaller than Zhang Cheng, but in a normal kind of way. Like if they were standing, Zhang Cheng could lean down and kiss his forehead perfectly. Before he could question himself for that line of thought, Nihasang chuckled and leaned in close. His eyes were stunning, amber and gold flecks dancing with mirth. "Zhang Cheng," Nihasang called, mischievous and playful. "I'm only going home if you come with me to meet my brother." "What?" Zhang Cheng asked, confused and gaping.
Okay, yeah. I'll go with you."
Nihasang kissed him, sudden and sweet, and everything at once felt right. The End.